Welcome to another EbizQ podcast.
This is Jessica Ann Miller, Managing Editor at EbizQ. Today I'm doing a podcast with Peter Chu, Director of Project Management at Alastra. Peter, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
Can you provide us a brief overview of Alastra?
Sure. Alastra was founded with the goal of simplifying the management of application infrastructure in enterprise data centers. You know, application infrastructure is the software that powers the businesses and business applications that we have today. So the application servers, the database servers, the web servers. As this infrastructure has become more complex over time, the sad truth is that the management technique and the tools used to manage that application infrastructure haven't. So we're still bound by deployment scripts and manual processes in some cases. And these tools and these techniques, although they haven't evolved with the complexity of the software, have stayed very much the same and have increased, in fact, in cost and time and risk. It's an unfortunate reality, but as we've moved more to, you know, relying on our application infrastructure, the cost of downtime has skyrocketed. And so, you know, an hour of downtime can cost anywhere between $22,000 and $72,000 per hour. So now Alastra was founded with the goal of really transforming the management of those applications against your data center to minimize the cost, to minimize downtime, and to minimize the risk of making changes to your application infrastructure in your data centers.
So the topic for today's podcast is green IT and greenness in the data center. And the first question is, what trends do you see transforming green technology in the data center right now?
I see two primary trends right now. I mean, I think the first interesting trend is alternative power generation. So companies are looking at alternative ways of generating the power that's used to provide energy to their data centers. They're looking at wind power. They're looking at solar power. They're looking at water and hydroelectric power. A recent company that came out had some very interesting possibilities or potentials is, you know, Bloom Energy, and their fuel cell-based mechanism that's deployed right now at eBay and Google and seems to be providing a huge amount of promise. So companies are investing in them as a way of providing energy to their data centers in a clean and in some ways a very cost-effective manner. And the second major trend that I see transforming is cloud computing. Cloud computing holds an immense amount of promise to minimize really the amount of energy that's used to power our data centers. If you think of the possibility of enterprises transforming and migrating their applications to cloud-based services, you know, we could potentially reduce power consumption by 50 to 75% across the board because no longer does every single individual company have their own data center, or do they do the majority of their data center operations, you know, on-premise. They might use potentially a cloud provider, and that has, since it's a shared service, that has the potential to reduce the overall energy consumed, and then as a result, you know, reduce the total amount of carbon that might be emitted or the total amount of dirty energy that's produced.
Peter, what are the pitfalls that you see in today's solutions?
I see several pitfalls. With respect to alternative power generation, I think that people don't look at the true cost of what it entails to generate that power. Let's take the analogy of a Toyota Prius, although I know Toyota's kind of coming under a lot of criticism recently for safety faults. But if you look, yeah, at the Prius, right, there's this assumption that, well, it's a hybrid electric vehicle, and as a result, if I reduce my gas emissions, I'm going to, you know, have a net benefit for society, a net benefit for the environment. Now, the reality is that if you look at the actual cost of producing the battery itself, and then the cost to the environment of what happens when that battery is dumped into a landfill or destroyed once that car has its end of life, the reality is that the net damage to the environment is actually fairly severe. In fact, in some cases, would be even better if you just drove a gas automobile as opposed to buying a Prius, which has this very expensive and very dirty form of battery that needs to eventually be disposed and has a lot of toxic chemicals. And so the same thing is true of alternative power generation. You know, if you look at where or how that energy is produced, you need to take a keen eye as to what, you know, the entire life cycle of that power generation went through. So coming back to some of these like fuel cell type technologies where their input might be something clean like natural gas or say methane or biogas, right? Well, natural gas is a byproduct of petroleum production, right? And you can't argue that extracting petroleum from the ground with all of its toxic chemicals and all of its negative side effects is really great because then, you know, we get the natural gas, which provides clean energy, right? Like that's still net destructive to the environment. That's a huge pitfall, I think, to the alternative power generation. And another one, of course, is just sort of the standard, well, you know, we don't get sunlight 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We don't have wind all the time. We don't necessarily have the same speed of water generation. And so with an inconsistent source of electricity being generated that doesn't necessarily meet the demands of enterprises as their energy requirements go through peaks and valleys, we could have a major issue. And with respect to cloud, I think the major pitfall with that is, are people able to meet the SLAs that are required to run the applications that are required for enterprises? Can you minimize the downtime? Can you ensure that the availability of your systems are there to meet the needs of the enterprises today?
Sure. I think you raise a few good points there. Now, let me ask you, do you see power utilization as a major concern in the development and implementation of technology components? And why should companies consider green IT incentives?
Yeah, I definitely think that power utilization is a huge concern, because as we start packing more and more systems within our data center, our energy costs are increasing at a rapid rate. And our energy utilization is increasing at around 20 to 25%, and almost at an equivalent rate of increase in cost as well, because as we pack in more servers, as we pack storage servers, for instance, SANs tend to actually constitute a large portion of energy usage within data centers today, and storage is doubling in a data center almost every year and a half. So now we have this huge problem where we are just packing in more and more energy, and we're packing in more and more requirements into that data center in order to sort of fuel the systems that power our businesses today. And so that's a huge concern. If it goes unchecked and if we don't find ways to either mitigate it or to come up with more cost-effective and more efficient solutions to utilizing the power within our data centers, we could very easily have data centers as a huge line item of cost, not only to the environment, but to the, you know, the fundamentals of businesses today. You know, with respect to the second half, I think the why companies should consider it, I think that there's several reasons. I think that the first reason is, as I mentioned before, cost. Data center power utilization and consumption is increasing at a fairly fast rate, and so it is important to minimize the cost. I also think that there's government incentives as well, you know, which also play into cost as well. Not many companies are aware, but California has a lot of great incentives for companies that want to use clean energy, and those help the net income of those businesses. And I think the third is brand equity. Employees aren't interested in working for a company that is not beneficial to the environment or has some sort of net destructive impact on the environment. If you look at Walmart, they recently launched an initiative to make sure that all of their suppliers were implementing green practices. And that has a huge impact on their, not only their brand equity out to the public, but on their ability to recruit top talent, because people aren't interested anymore in working for a company that's, you know, contributing to the destruction of our environment. They're only interested in working for companies that have a, you know, a fairly neutral or potentially positive benefit on what is happening to our environment today.
Now, what solution does Alastra propose for green IT, and is it deployable today?
So Alastra, as I mentioned before, coming back to what I was saying, you know, we are in the job of managing and simplifying the management of your application infrastructure. So what differentiates us is that we have a model-based approach to describing your application infrastructure. So instead of, you know, scripts that go through a step-by-step manner to deploy the application infrastructure, we allow customers to define a model of that application infrastructure, define a model in its relationships. So you have application servers, you have database servers, you have web servers, and then there's relationships between those. We allow you to, in a very logical and sort of very intuitive fashion, define those relationships. And then our underlying engine makes the changes to the application infrastructure in a very intelligent way. So removing the need for deployment scripts and removing the need for any sort of manual processes. Now, how this relates to green IT is that we can do some very interesting optimization with this model in hand. You know, with the knowledge that your application infrastructure is, you know, a tier of web servers, a tier of application servers, a tier of database servers, we can do some very interesting things to make sure that that system is optimized for a certain goal. Now, if one of those goals is energy utilization and most efficient energy utilization against your data center environment, we can optimize for that so that when you go out to provision and manage that application infrastructure in your data center, we can ensure through our model-based approach that the PUE ratio, if that's potentially a way that you want to measure power utilization, or if you want to measure power utilization through a minimum number of virtual machines, you know, we can optimize for that goal with this model-based system in hand, which is fairly unique and innovative in the space in terms of managing applications.
Very good. So how does one measure the greenness of a data center?
So there's several techniques that are out there right now. Probably the most popular is what I had just alluded to earlier, which is the PUE ratio, which is the power utilization efficiency ratio. And so it's very simply described as it's a ratio of the energy that's required to power your data center over the energy required for the components within the data center. And so the components being like your servers and your storage servers and whatnot. And so the idea being that if you spend three times as much on your HVAC units, your PUE ratio could be easily 3/1 or 4/1. And traditionally, they have actually been fairly high, between the 2.5 to 3. And companies are using this as a way, because it's very measurable and it's very easy to measure, as a way of measuring the greenness of the data center, because the assumption is that the less power you use, the less carbon you're emitting because you're using less power, so as a result, less power needs to be generated. Now, the pitfalls of this kind of measurement system are, I think, very similar to what I had alluded to earlier, with really looking at the true cost of energy production. Can you really say that this is a good way to measure the greenness of the data center, right? Like, it would be kind of like alluding to saying that, well, if we had every single car on the road was a Prius, you know, that would be great. But the reality is, well, once we start rolling over those things, the amount of battery acid that's churning into the ground or the amount of chemicals that's used to dispose of those things are so bad that, I mean, really, arguably, was that a better method? And I think that also extends to PUE, right? I mean, if you don't really look at the true cost of what's going into that energy production, you can't really say that it is more or less green. So I would argue that the true way to measure a green data center is to minimize the amount of energy produced through dirty means, or if you are producing energy through an inefficient and a dirty method, is to minimize the total amount of energy that's used, or to minimize the total amount of energy that's produced through inefficient and dirty production methods.
Sure, and I like the Prius analogy again. So how is Elastra's software-oriented approach different than a hardware-oriented approach?
That's a great question. And the thing is that with hardware-oriented approaches, they tend to be very reactive. So you can have a power meter within a data center, and it can tell you after the fact whether or not you've fallen out of an efficiency curve. So you can have these reactive approaches that measure it after the fact, but the main problem with that kind of hardware-oriented approach is that, well, organizations aren't set up to immediately respond to green issues, right? If there's a situation in a data center and a server is, or a set of servers or a set of systems are now no longer what you might call green, or maybe they're using more power than they need, organizations aren't set up to respond to that. There's no ticket, you know, system in an organization that says, okay, now we're, you know, our PU ratio or our energy efficiency ratio is off, let's fix it. Right? Organizations are set up to respond to interruptions in businesses and interruptions in environments. And if you then go back and say, well, listen, hey, you know, this server is now acting out of bounds and it's actually now producing a net, you know, destructive impact to the environment, now we've got to shut it down and transition it over. That is a mental leap that organizations aren't ready to take right now, because there just isn't that precedent. There isn't those processes that are set up internally. And so how our approach is different is that it's a more of a proactive software-based approach. So, you know, instead of capturing the problem after it happens, we want to prevent the problem before it even happens initially. We want to prevent that from ever happening in the first place, so that you never have to have this kind of reactive and firefighting mode within your company to react to a problem within the data center.
Sure. And Peter, in your opinion, how can IT employees encourage green practices in their organizations?
I think the key thing is awareness. More than anything, organizations just aren't aware of the alternatives that are out there today. They aren't aware of the government incentives that exist. They aren't aware of alternative power generation options that are available to data centers and companies. They aren't aware of the technologies like cloud computing that are available today to enable companies to improve their energy utilization and as a result have a net benefit to the environment as opposed to having a net destructive effect.
Lots of interesting points raised. Thanks a lot for joining me today, Peter, on the podcast.
Great. Thanks for taking the time.
This has been an EbizQ podcast.